In this video, we're joined by Charles and Rhea, a powerhouse duo combining construction and sales to build a thriving property business.
My weaknesses, Charles is really good at.
I come home and I'm like looking on the right move or deal source or anything like that. I can't switch off from it. I love it.
And this is the thing with property. You can't sit down and read a book and know it because there's always something legal, planning, financing. We just have to do it and learn.
From flipping homes for £100,000 clean profit to securing commercial to residential deals, they're doing it all. They've sold multiple deals, raised investor finance through social media, and now have their sights set on an £8 million land development project.
A bungalow, paid 246 for it, spent a good chunk on it, made about £100,000 profit on that one. I was living in it, so I'm literally going to work, building all day, coming home, building pretty much all night.
How important is social media for your business?
It's been really important. We have got some financial backing for our own projects through people just watching what we've been doing.
Got a bit of land as well, so we've got someone approach us. We're hoping we're going to put 8 luxury houses on it. GDV is around about 8 million.
So I had a lot of people going, oh, you've sold a lot of deals. Like, how do you make sure they're good? And it's just like, it's there. Put it through Rent My Deal.
If you want to learn how to scale fast, build a power team, and juggle multiple strategies successfully, this is a must watch. Enjoy. Be sure to subscribe for future property success stories.
It's a great building. There are so many exit strategies. We've got like plan D and it's still an awesome building.
Yeah, it still stacks. It isn't easy. You're not going to just turn up, pay your money and become rich. You have to put the work in.
If you're talking to somebody and they were just kind of like, I can't do it. It doesn't work. It's too hard. What kind of advice would you give them?
I'm your host, Patricia, and today we're sitting with Charles and Maria. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You guys had a busy day today.
We had a really busy day.
Where were you earlier?
We were at a social media marketing.
Oh, you're always learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. How important is social media for your business?
For us, it's been really important. Yeah. And we didn't realize how important it was going to be. But we knew we had to do it. So we were going, come on, we need to start videoing us doing things and taking photos of what we're doing. And actually, then we have been getting phone calls saying, oh, I've been seeing you've been doing this. And, you know, we've got this property. Can you help us? Or recently, we have got some financial backing. Mm-hmm. For our own projects through people just watching what we've been doing.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so, well, why don't we start at the beginning? So what were y'all doing beforehand? What was your profession?
I was in sales. So I started in new build sales.
That's right.
Sold for all the big giants, pretty much all of them, down in the Southwest. And then I moved into, technically I was a heating engineer, but I was selling carbon neutral heating. So I was surveying mm-hmm. houses and seeing how to make them more eco-friendly, more efficient.
Mm-hmm. You sold £8 million worth of?
1.8
million pounds worth of
essentially plug-in heaters.
A plug-in heater.
In about a year, just over a year. So it was busy. It was definitely busy, but yeah.
And how many of those houses did you sell?
The houses, I don't know. It would probably be over 100. Wow. At least. But I didn't. And to put that in a monetary, I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
You're clearly good at sales.
It's the only thing I know.
Yeah.
It's because I'm Italian, Patricia. Oh, speaking is the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
Speaking. Yeah. Just chatting.
Speaking and making love. That's it.
No comment. Oh, dear.
Well, that's great. What a skill to have both of them.
Yes.
And so, sales, I think, because I've been in sales for a long time too in the car business. And Charles, maybe you can chime in here. Do you find that sales is like an innate thing or can you learn sales?
You definitely can learn it. And I did have some, as much as I hated working for the big corporate giants selling houses, their sales training is very good. So I did have access to some real good training and to be able just to read people and their body language and just generally getting the feel for someone. Yeah. Has really helped me go forward.
You were at the Wolf of Wall Street event with Jordan Belfort, right?
Yeah, we went to see him. He's very good. He's a lot better than I am.
He is the best. Well, yeah. Samuel, I think, is better. But anyhow, so Charles, what were you doing beforehand?
So I've always been a builder. Used to work on the little self-drive motorboats when I was a kid. So I've literally worked like most of my life, basically.
Aww.
So yeah, and then left school at 16. My granddad passed away, left some money. So I bought a car, some tools.
Yeah.
Went off worked for a local builder, and then that was it. Really, sort of built up from that. Built up my own customer base. Bought a van, And then started up a little removal company just to fill in between, because that sort of starting out was quite, sort of getting going is always a bit of a struggle. And then, yeah, that was it really. Just went from strength to strength and built up a crew. Yeah, we had like 12 blokes at one point.
Wow.
And then that just, it was too much. Costing like a lot of money per day, overheads, inexperienced. And yeah, cut it right back. So yeah, focus more on doing like bespoke, nicer work consistently. And then, yeah, really sort of gone from there, from strength to strength really. And to properties for my mother, sort of flipped them and helped a few other people out build things and make a few quid. And yeah, that was it really. Sort of just, that's all I know is building and...
He's being modest. His company is a really big company. He's doing really well.
What's your company called?
Hankin Construction and Joinery. Yeah, based in Devon. Like I say, we've got a small crew at the moment. We're going to expand again because last year, well, it's nearly 2 years now, I suppose, I really took time off to come on the academy and really focus on actually learning to develop properly, because we've done it before. And obviously, the Mr. Taxman loves to take a lot of your hard work, doesn't he? No comment.
You made a comment with a no comment,
yeah,
by the way.
So
you've got this successful construction company.
Yeah.
And you're building houses for your family, your friends, your clients.
Yeah.
And then you join the academy.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How did you hear about Samuel Leeds? I'm really so curious.
I think it was actually YouTube, I think. Originally,
YouTube.
Yeah, good old YouTube. Yeah, because so I was one of those, I'm like obsessed with what I do. So I'd be researching tools or like new building methods and stuff like that, and property and like flipping and stuff like that. And then, yeah, I think Samuel popped up. I went to a pound crash course in London. I didn't sign up there and then, I must admit. I think they were doing, an intensive, like it was a day, Ricky was hosting for the day. And I was sort of looking at it and I could hear all these success stories and I was just looking at it and just thinking, oh, no. So, do you know what? So actually, out of all people, I rung my mum. I was like, do you think I should do it? And my mum's got to say, I won't say it because it doesn't involve a swear word. But, she was like, just do it. So I was like,
oh, right. Wow. So it was a good swear word.
So signed up to it there and then for the academy and that was it. So sort of, yeah, brought myself down here and completely out of my comfort zone, just alienated, back of the room, you know, the classic start of an academy membership, and that was it. And then worked my way forward and front of the room every time. I wouldn't look back. Love it.
That's great. And you're always smiling, you're talking to everybody. You guys know everybody, don't you, between the two of you?
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah.
I think that's because we're always at the bar.
That's where deals get done.
Yeah, it just calms the nerves, you know. But
oh, that's great. And then how did you find out about the academy?
It was the Andrew Tate interview.
Oh, okay.
I'm an Andrew Tate fan, so I saw that and then moved on. Was watching all Samuel's videos intensely for like one evening. It was just now or never. Yeah, binged it for one evening and then came down to London to the £1 crash course. Great. And then I did sign up. Yeah. My phone call to my mother was, don't buy anything because they're probably trying to sell to you. And then I merrily went and did... did buy some courses, but hey,
exactly the opposite.
In true me fashion. It was the serviced accommodation intensive that I signed on to.
Great.
That's how I got started.
So what was it about the crash course that made you guys decide to sign up for the academy? Because you know, it's quite an investment, right? Mm-hmm. You're not really sure. You don't get a little taste of it. Well, actually, you do get a taste of it at the crash course. So what was it that made you sign on the dotted line?
I think it was, for me, it was Samuel's energy.
Seriously.
He walked in and like, you obviously watch him on YouTube and at first it's a bit like, oh, you know, there's Samuel. But it was actually, once he was on stage, he wasn't selling anything. He was actually like enthusiastic about what he was doing. And you could pick up that he felt like he was actually trying to help you.
Yeah.
You know, and you get a lot of people there, they're helping you, but they're helping you for something.
Mm.
And whereas with Samuel, I didn't really pick up on that. Obviously, yeah, you know, he's running a business, he's selling the courses, but the courses are beneficial.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, to me, I didn't feel like it was pushy at all. It was really good value. And he was kind of touching on key points that I wasn't sure on.
Mm.
So it kind of like dangled the carrot and I'm like, okay, this guy's actually like, you can tell he's passionate about it. Like it's not, oh, this is what we're doing. Here's the course. That's it. Take it or leave it. It was actually like he felt like he genuinely cared.
Yes.
So that's what drew me in, I must admit.
Yeah. He's on a mission, right?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way.
He wants to help everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I had never done any training. Like apart from whatever company I was in sending me on a day course, I haven't taken myself to any sort of training or anything that's investing in myself. So, I mean, walking in that room for the first time, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just huge energy and on all these strategies. And I've been around property. So I'm like, oh, I know property. Yeah. So let's go and see how I can do that better. And all these strategies that I'd never even heard of just blew my mind. It's so true. Yeah, I was just sat there for 4 days. Just,
yeah.
I think that was a
completely
thing
blown my mind.
It was because the amount of houses I built, I like couldn't. It was just that buy, refurbish, refinance. It was literally that last little refinance bit. It was just like, what? Why have I never thought that?
And
that it's just like all this money that you've made and given to the tax man. Like you could literally just refinance, put it in your pocket, and go and do it again.
Well, because we're told to pay off our mortgage.
Well, exactly that.
We're really hard and pay off your mortgage.
Yeah, and I think that is something that isn't. It's not advertised because it's a property course and what you can do with property. Mm-hmm. But actually, the lessons that I've learned about money mm-hmm. and how the world works with money and how you can leverage it and how you don't need that much and how it actually works, not how we're told. It was mind-blowing for me. And the fact that we leverage now and, you know, we use other people's money with investors, or you can leverage, you can bridge, you can all these different ways of raising finance.
Well, let's talk about your deals. Okay, who wants to go first?
So I suppose, so my bungalow, bought that, paid 246 for it, spent a good chunk on it. Can't disclose for certain reasons. But about 100 grand profit on that one. And we turned that around.
100 grand
profit. Yeah, turned that around about 12 weeks, just over 12 weeks. And I was living in it at the time. So people that live in and do the refurbs know that. So that was pretty good.
Was it difficult to live in a construction site?
Yeah, because I'm building as well.
Yeah.
So I'm literally going to work, building all day, coming home, building pretty much all night, wake up. I remember like the most vivid thing for me was I had, when I took the back of the house out, because we took like big wraparound extension, like dropped the corner of the house.
Wow.
So I had a tarpaulin across the back of the house. That was it. So there was no heating, middle of winter. And I came out into the office in the morning to get the paperwork done, and my glass of water I'd left out the night before was frozen.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And, but at the time, like say, that's all I did, live, breathe, eat and sleep building. Mm. And, after it was done, it was just like surreal, really, because it was my first house. It's like I was living in it, like, oh, this is bloody.
How old were you when you did that?
30, I think. So I was quite late getting a house because I was determined. So I had, when I was younger, like my dad was disabled. Like, long story short, I stayed at home for quite a while. I wanted to save up, wanted to buy the family house, do it up.
Yeah.
Ex-partner came along and it was like, right, we've got to get out of the house, got to buy this, that and the other. So got into it earlier than I'd planned, but yeah, wouldn't change it now, really. So yeah, probably about in my 30s, I'd say. So quite delayed to some people, but like I say, because I've always been so engrossed in my business, I'd literally, all I'd do is just work. And then I'd ride motocross or biking or surfing or whatever on the weekends. Like that.
I don't think 30 is late. Like, what is the age? I know Samuel says this, the age of people purchasing. I'm not even sure.
It's later than we think. Like, I always thought people like in the mid 20s, whatever, they go out and you can go and get a flat or something like that. But I didn't really know, to be fair. But for me, I felt it was quite late because a lot of my mates had already moved out and they'd got their own place and, you know, they're renting whatever. But like I say, so that was, I thought was a bit later. I've kept that.
But you made 100 grand in 3 months.
About that, yeah.
Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, well not done to you. All.
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah. So. Would you do it again?
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Yeah. I'm always literally, but that's the thing I did. I come home and I'm like looking on a, like Rightmove or Deal Source or anything like that. I just, I can't switch off from it. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, and then, and recently, last October, we completed on a commercial development. So that we've put in for planning, which got rejected just before we got here. So that's a bit of a nightmare, but it's on a bit of legislation that literally doesn't exist. The local council has made it up. They can't back it up. So, yeah.
So they've got no legs to stand on?
No legs to stand on. We're going to appeal it. We think it's delay tactic. Like next door basically has just had their planning rejected. It's quite a messy situation. So I've got a feeling maybe it's because it's still a bit sore maybe. So we'll see. Yeah. But with the planning, like my architects and that, they're confident we're going to get it. I'm confident we're going to get it. We could get most of it under permitted development, but because we wanted to do the whole lot and then not have to reapply later on. So we'll see. But
can you purchase this together?
No, this is my one. So paid 215 for it, 120 spend, GDV is between 600 and 630.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a beast of a property.
It's a great building. And even there are so many exit strategies. We've got like plan D and it's still an awesome building.
It still stacks. So that's why it's bittersweet, because I was hoping I was going to come over like, Trisha, you just got that in, denied.
Champagne.
Let's get back to that bar. Come on. But unfortunately, but that's the reality of it, isn't it? It's not always sunshine and rainbows. There's always hurdles to get over. So
there's no guarantees. All we can do is get educated, try our hardest, you know, mitigate the possibilities, the best case, worst case scenario, right?
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that people, like, it isn't easy. You're not going to just turn up, pay your money, and become rich. Like, you have to put the work in. It's part of it, isn't it? Like, nothing is easy. If it was, everyone would do it. So I think that's, again, I know Sammy gets a lot of criticism for, you know, oh, you're selling this, you're selling that. And it's just like, well, no, you've only got yourself to blame, really. Like, if you put the graft in, there's how many people down there that's absolutely killing it? Yeah. So it's, yeah.
It's so true. And all the mentors there to help you, right?
Yeah, and they're amazing. Every step of the way, every one of them. Like, you literally pick up the phone to them and they help you out. And it's so rare that I found that you could speak to another businessman or businessman, business lady, business day, and they'll help you. Like, it's so competitive everywhere else. Whereas with here, any question, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is how we've done it. And they'll help you out. And it's just, it's surreal. It's really good.
I used to say that the mentors are your JV partners that you don't have to pay. They don't get any shares for anything. Yeah. They don't have any side agenda. All they want to do is make you successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simon and Tatiana are like my two.
Shout out, Simon and Dee.
They've been amazing. Poor Tatiana, bless her. Both of us on the phone for every reason under the sun. We're just like, help.
Well, they did the actual purchase of the commercial, and that was not the most straightforward of purchase.
Hundreds of houses I've sold. That one was by far the worst.
Really? Why?
It was, and what was really frustrating is the first 90% went through fine. That last 10% of the sale took 5 months. But by the end of it, we'd had four different solicitors had to be instructed and do some bits of work. The bridge was interesting and it was just a very difficult purchase.
What would you do differently for that purchase?
I mean, just knowing, we didn't, the bridge company had some very particulars on what type of solicitor we had to use.
Really?
And then they wanted the different verifications for different funds and the independent legal advice and things like that. They wanted done by a specific type of solicitor in a firm that had this many partners and all these things.
So if we'd had
like a list of saying, like, these are the legal questions they're going to want, these are the things we need, we would have done it. But what they did, they didn't do that. They would say, do something, and then they'd go, no, try again.
Okay, we'll try again.
What, you're just like shooting bullets in the dark?
Spending money.
We're like, we're in Southeast Devon, and they were like, oh, we need evidence the 90-day rule doesn't apply. So we're like, well, we're in Devon, it doesn't apply. And they're like, we need it from the planning officers. We've got a statement from the planning officer.
Come on.
One of two in East Devon.
Oh my God. We got a statement from the planning officer, and they're like, nah, we need to see it in writing. And he's like, I am literally the planning officer. Like, it's fine. And they're like, no. We need it, and we're just banging our head against those kind of things.
Just little things. But this is the thing with property. You can never be, you can't sit down and read a book and know it.
Yeah.
Because there's always something legal, planning, financing. There's always something, or a very complicated, you know, title of a property. There's always going to be something. Every property is so different, and the makeup of that property is so different. So you just have to do it and learn.
keep tabs of everything you've done as well. So each, like, we document everything. So, like, spreadsheets, costs, like, questions. Yeah, like, so we now know if we go with future investors or whatever, to, if we like, right, you want a bridge, everyone say, yeah, we'll just bridge it. Yeah. The amount of people that are like, oh, actually, well, we're struggling with that bridge. We can't get this, we can't get that. And it's just like, well, yeah, have you had this list? And like, a lot of people haven't, have they?
And we have definitely spent the time getting a really good power team. Like, the people around us are so good. That we can, you know, help. We do know someone that's really good, and we know what the bridging company is going to want. We know what the solicitors are going to want. We know all these different bits. We've got an architect, and obviously Charles does the building. So we can help. We now know.
Yeah.
We've got someone to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
We know who to call.
So. How difficult was it to create your power team?
It just took time. Yeah. It just took time.
I think from my side was pretty easy because I've already established that from the building. So I always had like the structural engineers, the architects, obviously the building, suppliers, all that sort of stuff.
But then the broker that I work with, I've worked with him for years, he's brilliant. And that's come through selling new build. So the people that I know, again, it's just been...
Yeah, it takes time, definitely. I think it's not so much the power team, but actually at what point you need your power team. Mm-hmm. So like who come, like what point do you need that? When do you need your statements? When do you need your finances? Mm-hmm. Like it's, yeah, that for us has been sort of the head scratcher, wouldn't it, of actually working around and the purchase process because each one's different. And so when you hit a bit of a wall, like, okay, well, we need to go back to them and speak to them about something. So I think that's what's, and we've been so busy with other stuff. It's like, well,
what other stuff are you guys doing?
Well, the building company's like super busy. So we're like, I'm quite engrossed in that, I must admit. It's taken me a while.
And then I manage 5 essays.
Okay. Tell me about your 5 essays.
Yeah. So they're all on the beach.
Nice.
All in Cornwall. All down on the beach by the sea. The property Charles has just bought is 100 metres by the sea. Oh. All the deals I've sold, bar 2, are all by the sea. So I have to do the management company for that. So we do it all seaside luxury stays.
Great.
Which is busy.
What's the name of your company?
Summit Property Group.
Summit Property Group. Great. Well, that sounds really lovely. Anything seaside. I love the water.
Yeah.
I'd love to come down in the summer.
Right? You have a boat?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm in. Let's pencil it in right now.
Yeah, we'll have a little cabin meetup.
The boat doesn't come with the essays, though. We don't rent that out. That's our sanity. When it gets too much, we literally leave.
That's our little funnel. Work with us, you come out the boat.
That's a good deal closer.
So
you guys met in the academy.
We did.
Tell me about it. I think that's so lovely.
We met. It was...
I got a shout out to Connor Blades actually.
Connor, another
academy member. Yeah. Bless him, he's up north. So all people up north do this. He said, you two in the same area, we're actually 2 hours apart. But he was like, you're like down there on the edge of the world. So you guys, and he just exchanged our numbers. So puts him in a group chat. And then I hitched a lift up to London to Samuel's birthday.
That was it.
Picked him out a suit because he didn't have one on the way up. And that was that. And then we just started working together. You were just buying. Obviously, I've got sales experience. So I was helping him purchase his. And then he was giving me building advice on mine.
It's a great combination of skills, right?
Yeah.
We are very lucky there, I think. We've got like kind of every base covered. I must say, like the sales process, like hats off to Maria because... I'd have chucked the towel in at one point. Like, it was really just banging my head against the wall.
He did say, call them and pull out. And I knew we were so close. So just with love and respect, I ignored him. I carried on doing it for another 2 weeks. And then I said, I remember that property. You are buying it. It's still happening.
Yeah.
We're doing it. So, it does work well. I think that my weaknesses, Charles is really good at.
Yeah.
So like together, I feel like we're one.
Yeah, it's the academy.
It's the academy.
Academy love story.
It is. Well, what kind of advice would you give a couple who's living together? Do you live together?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, living together, working together, working all hours of the day on all sorts of different stuff, strapped for cash because everything's invested. What kind of advice could you give a couple who you want to, to survive?
Something we're definitely working on. We're not there yet, but definitely making time for it. We do try if we can, and it doesn't happen because you got to make money when you can make money, but we do try and have at least one day on the weekend that we're not working. We do now try and we're not eating dinner with a laptop and a phone. We are trying to put that away and actually talk about just...
Yeah, we have our little dinner conversations.
Relentlessly running figures on different opportunities and different things because that isn't the best in a conversation.
Yeah, I think
trying to have a date talking about
BRLs. Yeah, allow the downtime and because again, it depends what level you want to go to as well, really. Like in my head, I've got big goals, but at the same time, I don't want to sacrifice every moment of every day for those goals. There's just, everyone has different life experiences, don't they? But like mine's definitely had a few there where it's like, well, yeah, okay, actually, like you need to make sure you've always got time for yourself as well. And
It isn't like the big flashy job title and, a figure that we're chasing. I think we're just chasing freedom.
Yeah, we want to be successful, but not at any cost, if you know what I mean. Like you see some people and they literally have no life. Mm-hmm. Like they've got a nice bank account, but they've got no life. They're unhealthy. They're just a bit like stressed. Isolated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, there's too many things have happened where you just get this little wake up call of like, as morbid as it is, tomorrow isn't guaranteed, is it? So you want to make sure that, yeah, just enjoy the journey really. Like, yeah, you might get there quicker, but just remember to keep it fun as well, I think.
And so you are a deal selling machine. I remember on Monday Night Mastermind, Samuel pulled you up and said, Maria DeFonso's selling all the deals on Deal Connect. And so I don't sell deals. So what is that all about? What was that like for you?
Yeah, deal selling was the one thing I said I was never going to do because I thought it was really scary and you had to have all these moving parts in one place. And Samuel saw my very first one on stage at the Deal Selling Masterclass.
Oh.
And he pulled me up on stage and I was so nervous. And I thought I was just horrible on stage because I could barely get my words out. And the guy didn't have his money and it didn't work in the end, that one. And then someone else brought the deal. So I was like, oh no, can't do it. It didn't happen. Can't do it. So I just left it for 9 months and I was like, deal selling's not for me. I'll do absolutely everything under the sun that isn't deal selling. And then, when I had my 2 days with Samuel, he was like, sell the deals that you're not taking on yourself. Come on, just do it. So, got back into it. And yeah, so, selling VRR deals and commercial to Resi. And just as I was really getting going, Samuel launched Deal Connect. So they all went straight on there and they sold really quickly, really quickly. So it did change the game, for me.
Definitely. Well, that's so great. I mean, that's the whole thing about the Academy. Samuel just has all of these tools in place for us. And all you really have to do is find the strong deal.
Yeah.
The mentors will help stack it for you. And then Samuel will sell it for you.
And that's that's what I was doing. I was putting them through.
Poor Sue.
I know.
Sue.
Everything. Love Sue. I was through deal. When I started doing it, I think it was just Sue and maybe one other person, but bless her, Sue always got my deals. And I was sending everything, like, because I think I know my numbers. But you know, if you're going to sell a deal, you need to really, really, those numbers have got to be correct. You can't go on a wing on a prayer. So I was just sending so much through. Will this work? I don't know. Can you help me? So yeah, everything through Rate My Deal and then on to Deal Connect. So I had a lot of people going, oh, you've sold a lot of deals. Like, how do you make sure they're good? And it's just like, it's there.
Yeah.
I don't need to give you a checklist. It's there. Put it through Rate My Deal.
Yeah.
I think
someone who's made millions will do it for you. Mm-hmm. Is that
knowing your numbers as well, isn't it? Like we've literally had people ask us for advice, and like with that bay window, isn't it? Like you could see there were structural issues. It's like just structural engineer and a steel probably cost you about £700 for the structural engineer and a steel, and they're like, oh well, it doesn't stack up like that. So yeah, but the reality is that's what it's going to cost.
Mm.
And so I think that's why again, like your deals are good, aren't they?
Yeah, we don't sell a lot of deals. Mm-hmm. I mean. There's definitely a finite amount of really good deals. Mm-hmm. Not everything is a deal. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have to be selling 10 a week, at some point, the deal isn't going to be that great because they don't all work. So we only do a couple. I do one or two a month, but they're really good deals.
Right.
Really good deals.
And you're down south.
And we're down south.
Because a lot of the feedback I get from the Academy members when I check in is they'll say, oh, Patricia, I'm down south. There's no deals down here. And I'm like, really?
Yes.
And they're like, all the deals are up north. And I'm up north and there are deals up north. And I'm like, but there's other Academy members getting deals down south.
Yeah, no, there's none down south. You, and there's
there is nothing. Don't come down desert. Past Bristol. It's dead. Absolute dead.
Yeah. Somerset below.
It's a different, if it's a different market, and like up country, you can buy a hell of a lot for a lot of money and you cannot do that where we are, but there are other opportunities.
Okay.
There are, it's just a different model. The same with the serviced accommodation. Mm-hmm. It's seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
We still do very, very well. It works. It's just a different type of business. It's a different industry. So the commercial to resi has been working really well for us because there's a lot of empty high street and they're really big and they're quite cheap and you can make some real nice properties out of it. Yeah. But in the BRR, you can find the right property if you know what to do with it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and you're realistic with what it costs. And I think that's what we see a lot of the time is people think the deal's going to be 30K is usually the golden number, isn't it? Every reno I see is 30K, and very rarely it isn't. So as long as those figures are correct and you know what you're doing, then it works.
Well, your mum has commercial? property?
Yeah. My family have had commercial property for years. Yeah. They were in the restaurant business. I think some of the buildings that we still have in our town, I think my family took on in like 1950, 1952, if not before. So that we've had them a long time. Yeah. And then with COVID and bits and that and other family members getting out of the business, my mum has had a commercial building that was essentially empty, and on a commercial value, obviously it drops. And to try and help me in my business, when she said, well, as I'm trying to sell it and it's empty and it's doing nothing, if you want to try and make something out of it, make something out of it. So 12 months ago, we had it valued at 450. Mm-hmm. We took a £100,000 bridge, including all the fees, and we've built a new flat in there.
Yeah.
There was an existing flat that we've made into serviced accommodation. So that's now got a year's worth of books. And then we've got a tenant now in the commercial. So it's now fully tenanted.
Wow.
It's full. And I did want to have my end vow for you, but it's coming tomorrow. I've been told today. We're hoping to do that. But we're not going to sell it. And because the building was owned outright, we don't need to refinance it. So that end figure is great for us. And it'll be great for my mum to know that she's got some money, and we want to hopefully allow her to retire on that. But the revenue on that should be 80 grand a year just on that one building. So we're hoping that will sort my little mum out so she can have a little break.
Going to retire mumsy, don't we? That was the plan.
And Charles is doing a similar thing with his project. His mum has some involvement in it as well. So it's like project.
Oh, I love that.
Get our mums.
The mother's cruise fund, we called it. So, yeah.
That's good. You got to take care of your mums, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
They take care of us. So.
Which business did you put into the commercial space?
So it was a restaurant, and then my brother ran it, and then it was an ice cream shop, and he did fabulously well in it. So we have re-rented it out as an ice cream takeaway.
Your brother?
He was running it. He now does other bits and bobs. So it's rented out now, still as an ice cream shop. And our new talent's done a fabulous job. He sells sweets and different bits and bobs as well. So, and it looks great. He's done a really good job with the front. Nice. So
and he's got the good ice cream as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, great ice cream. We did really well. So obviously we're on the beach. Ice cream is big business. We were lucky enough to get, there's a local farm that makes ice cream in Cornwall. It's produced there, it's amazing, and they give us exclusivity on the high street because we sold so much. So
what's your ice cream shop called?
So that it was called Alfresco. But they sell Celestic ice cream, which is an amazing Cornish ice cream. If anyone is going down to Cornwall, that is what you should
I've been
have.
To Cornwall. It's on the other side of the lakes from, because I'm all the way up there, but Jeremy and Ginny are in Cornwall.
Yes.
So we were at their house last year, and it was so nice. It's so pretty there, right?
It's lovely.
Again, the water is like
it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's magical.
Yeah.
It's literally like the other day we were finishing up your place, wasn't it? There's like a whale like breaching out in the bay.
Come on.
Yeah, insane.
We have a beautiful sea view, and it's 100 meters, and it's there, and it just came into the bay, so we were watching that.
Lovely.
So yeah, it was really nice.
Oh, that's nice. So what's the difference between a regular residential tenant and a commercial tenant?
So the commercial tenant, the contract's completely different. So it's on a full repairing contract. So he has to leave it how he's found it, which is good. They don't always, though. We have had a few horror stories of that, but the commercial tenant, you know, if they don't pay, they have to go. So unlike a tenant who's living in the property has certain rights. So the commercial does give us a little bit more security. Mm-hmm. And obviously with a commercial, if we had a commercial valuation, we're doing bricks and mortar, but you know, that rental income that we get directly impacts the value of the building.
Right. It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
I remember doing one of the commercial training online courses, Samuel was saying you could put a tent in the middle of the field, and if Beyonce rents it out for a concert, that is the value of that tent.
That's the value
of it. Mad,
and it's a 7-year contract. Obviously, it's not month to month. It's not 6 months. It's 7 years. Mm. So you've got something substantial. So in that building, again, what we want it for, to give my mum some security, to have, you know, a flat rate every month that's secure, and then the bigger money on top with the serviced accommodation. That mix works really well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Amazing. Okay, so what do you guys have in the pipeline?
Well, hopefully try and get this planning issue sorted out.
That'll be easy. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Yeah. You got it.
So get that sorted. So that's, well, it's three flats in it in a commercial unit. So that'll see us going from an exit, obviously, be my company doing the work.
Yeah, and the office is going to be our high street office. Yeah. So we are going to be a one-stop shop to for people that either have properties that are...
Yeah, and our architects are moving in with us as well.
Aren't they? Yeah, so our architects are going to be in with us. So
moving into your home?
No.
Oh. Into the office with us. So we're going to be a one-stop shop. We can help people with their problems. We're just going to keep deal selling. We have got now quite a substantial amount of investment to do our own projects. So we're going to be flipping some projects, and they're going to be a little bit bigger, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. So everything that I have been looking at, I'm still going to be selling. So anything that we don't take on, we are going to be selling. We do the project management and the property management.
Yeah, we've got a bit of land as well. So we've got someone approach us. We hope we're going to put sort of 8 luxury houses on it.
Wow.
So that's, pretty juicy one, that one. So that'd be...
So what are the numbers for the land deal?
Well, GDV is around about 8 million.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you had me at 8 million.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully...
But what did you buy the land for, and what's the...
Didn't... No.
Sorry, start from the beginning.
Yeah, So don't glorify it too much. But friend of mine basically approached me, said, well, actually, funny enough, I actually went to go and look at purchasing an old petrol station. And I was driving past, and I looked at the field, you know, as you do, you're looking around at you.
Yeah,
and I thought,
always scoping.
That'd be good for houses in there. Anyway, probably, 6 months? And my mate rings me up. He's like, yeah, my man's got a field. Like, he's interested in doing something with it. Would you like to have a look? So we digged into it, and it used to be on the council's strategic land.
What is that?
So it's basically the council allocates bits of land that that you could potentially put houses on to meet the housing targets.
The
What a name.
I don't even know what that stands for.
So obviously I've sort of heard that and gone, bloody hell, hang on a minute. So planning isn't out the window. So we went there originally, you probably fit about 30 houses on it. Wow. But I sort of went there, scoped it out, and it doesn't really fit the area. So the average sale price is around about between 650 and 1.2.
Per house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in a gateway place to the main city. It's like your exec heaven.
Type of village.
Yeah, it's a dream.
Lovely. Yes.
Absolute dream. You're sort of like 15 minutes from Exeter. So you're like, and you're like 3-4 minutes from getting onto the dual carriageway to get to Exeter. So it's like really easy. So yeah, we're in the process now of putting all the pieces together for that. But they own the land. We can raise the finance for it and 50-50. So. And obviously our companies can develop it as well. So, and not only that, but his son does groundworks as well. Like, they're really good groundworkers. So we can literally just get the whole lot, all your services, everything in, done. So,
and I'll have them sold.
Yeah, Maria can sell them.
Quickly. Before they're at the ground, they will be sold.
Yeah. So we're just, obviously a lot of behind the scenes with that one. So it's just putting all the pieces together, really. And and just because it's for us, it's a big project. It's, you know, we've built for people before, but when it's your own skin in the game, it's a bit like, ooh.
Yeah.
So learning more about putting all that together, really. Obviously our own development construction company is just, it's nuts at the moment. So
we're just busy. We're just really busy. And we obviously, Charles has some staff in the construction company, but with the development, the project management, property management, everything else that we do, we have no staff. We don't even have a VA. We do everything.
Well, so, you have to start handing some stuff off, right?
Yeah, that's where we're at now, is actually structuring, because obviously at the moment we're running as all our separate companies. Our companies are all separate, and we just help each other. So
get a bit of now a structure going now.
We are going to restructure, and we are going to need some help, because it's the admin of each different business just takes time, and we're doing it all, and then we're on the phone, and then you've got a network, and then we've got to be viewing properties, and then we're doing this. So that's going forward. Now we need to actually start making it like a bit of a proper unit.
Just structured better, isn't it? I think the unit's there, but there's only so many hours in a day, isn't there? And it's stressful. And and
we probably could have a couple of like part-time people.
Yeah. But to be fair, there's like my construction company. I've got a guy, Will. He's like brilliant.
Will.
Yeah, we love Willie. Big shout out to Will. He's like really good. He can like help run that side of it. So that's kind of like taking some weight off my shoulders. And then obviously with the development and running round side of it, and that's kind of like what I want to do. And then certainly the paperwork side of it is just, as so much as you know, it's just so much to it.
I've been taking that over.
Yeah. So that's what you say. Yeah, get some sort of VA. But it's just trust. Struggle with trust.
Yeah.
Getting someone you know and trust is going to do it right. And keeping on top of it. The old perfectionist.
Yeah,
but we are at that stage. You've got to let some things go to grow. So,
well, you're running the Inner Circle Bristol.
I am
with the Joseph and Jay.
One more thing that we do.
One more thing.
Once a month we go up to Bristol, and
how far is Bristol from Cornwall?
Luckily, because I live now in Devon with Charles,
Okay.
So it's about an hour and a half. Okay. It was three from my home originally. So that was a trek. So now that I'm a little bit closer, that's why I took on the role, because now I can actually be there.
Do you enjoy it?
Every month? No, I don't.
Oh.
I hate public speaking.
Oh, really?
She does so well in it.
We are sat down and we're having a little chat. If there was 10 people in this room and I had to stand at the front, I hate it. I do struggle being on social media. I don't like it. The minute you turn that camera on, I've got to speak to a camera. I really struggle with that. So Samuel had pointed that out with the 2 days I spent with him. So when someone had to stand in at Bristol because someone was ill or away, I just did it because I was like, I need to get over it. And then slowly I've kind of taken that on. But I don't find it easy. Every month is the same. My knees feel weak and I feel sweaty and just... It's okay. difficult, but I'm trying to get through it.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that a bit more. And we have to.
I bet she does. You're a high performer, right? So your expectations for yourself are very high.
Really high.
And then if you don't make what you expect, then you are upset with yourself. I know. Yeah. We're all the same. That's why we connect with each other, because we know the pressure we put on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone always says, you do the things you don't like and it'll get easier.
Yeah.
So we're month four in. And I'm waiting for it to get easier. But hopefully it will. We're actually guest speaking next Tuesday at the Cotswolds in a Circle.
Oh, very nice.
So we're both doing our talks. So
very good.
That will be the next challenge for the public speaking. So we're going to be going through avoiding catastrophe.
Avoiding catastrophe.
In BRRs and development.
So you guys are now like end-to-end service, right? Mm-hmm. From packaging and selling to project management to the build. And then would you manage their properties afterwards as well?
Yes, we've got the management. So we are
so they don't
start
do anything.
To finish. Yeah.
They just give it all to you. Hands off,
yeah. That's why, because we've been like behind the scenes, that's why we've been a bit quiet, but that's what we've been building up is to get to that point and make sure that we're not sort of running before we can walk. Because we've done all the individual bits, but putting them all together and making it work, isn't it? We're like, right, okay, so we've now kind of got a bit of a system. So.
Yeah. And that's why we don't sell like big volume of deals. We do a few good ones and we do it start to finish and we have the quality in there and we do the recurring business on that way. So that's how we structured it, as opposed to just lining them up and selling them quickly. We just do it a little bit.
Yeah, try and minimize the problems from the start is probably the best way.
But start to finish. And then my management company gets them at the end, but that management company knows that it's getting the best properties in that area because they're built really well.
Yep.
They're done to a really good standard. I know I'm not going to have a load of problems. We know it's going to rent really well. So,
And you're building your business, your reputation in your community and everything, right?
Yeah.
So people are going to know you guys real soon.
And we're in it for the long run as well, isn't it? I think some people get blinded by numbers and kind of don't actually sort of grasp this sort of concept that if you do put something out there kind of in the back of your head knowing that it's not necessarily right, and it's like that could come back around and bite you. So it's we're in it for the long run. Quality, not quantity, isn't it? It's probably the best way to put what we want to do. So
it's what we're doing. Everything we've done is sort of very high end luxury. It's just what we do.
So if anybody feels like it's overwhelming, if you're talking to somebody and they were just kind of like, I can't do it, it doesn't work, it's too hard, what kind of advice would you give them?
Just keep going.
Just that's it?
Yeah. I'm coming from probably a different background, but you just got to keep going and ride the wave, I like to call it, because it's peaks and troughs, isn't it? And just, it's not always, some people may do, but I personally, I don't. I'm like up here 1 minute, next minute, I'm like, oh, I just can't be arsed, don't want to get out of bed. Like, it's part of it, isn't it? But if you're struggling, just keep going and have a goal as well. Like, aim for something, because if you're just aiming into thin air and you want this bank account that's got endless numbers in it, then it's probably not going to happen. But if you've got a goal, just keep getting to your goal. And I want my Sunseeker in the med, and it's like, that's my thing. So like, but how am I going to get there? Is you've got to do it in stages. And that for me is what works. So
being in the right environment, it's really tough. We have so much support and we can call people, and that is really important. You need to, if you're struggling, you need to, definitely reach out to those people that definitely can help you. But we've got the academy, we've got this infinite support, and it's still hard.
Right.
So it is. Yeah, you've got to get yourself in the right environment.
I still book mentor calls. Mm-hmm. I still sit down with Sue and ask her for advice, and Tatiana and Ginny and You know, like you have to lean on those people because it would be rude not to, right? That's why they're there.
Yeah. And I think another thing is like, is don't ever be scared to ask for help.
Yeah.
I think some people, like I was guilty of it as well. I didn't kind of always been a bit self-dependent, but when you can actually ring someone up and they're like, oh yeah, you do this. And afterwards you're like, bloody hell. I wasn't going to say worked up over that. It's like, just always ask for help. And don't put like a mask on, I suppose, is another thing. Just like,
what do you mean by that?
Like, I think a lot of people, again, it's quite generic here, but sorry for my bluntness. But some people, like you see, and they turn up with a Rolex and the jacket and, you know, I'm this and I'm that. And it's like, and in their head, maybe they have this persona of how they have to be. Whereas a lot of those people actually, and you dig into it, are struggling.
Mm.
And if they actually turned up and was like, look, guys, I'm in a bit of a pickle here. Like, can you help? Like,
yes.
It would probably help them out a bit more. And you find some people that don't speak up that are struggling. It's because they haven't asked for help.
Mm-hmm.
It's whereas actually, and if they just get overcome that, I can't because of what people might think about me.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you get over that, I think that's the golden ticket to just...
Because it's amazing. The problem might look massive, but it's amazing how quickly it can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
I've had like... In my head, I'm thinking, this is doomsday, and I've had a 15-minute call with Simon.
Yeah.
And it's fixed. Or Tatiana, or Sue.
Yeah.
And in a 15-minute call, and then you put the phone down, you're like, oh, yeah, that's that done. Next.
Right.
And it's just fixed. So, yeah, it, I think in our own mind, everything seems bigger and scarier. And
well, it is until you have a friend, a mentor, somebody, a colleague to sit you down and say, no, it's okay. Don't worry, you got this. There's a solution. There's three solutions. And this is what you're going to do next.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is the power of the mentors that we have.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously the network, it's worth it in itself, but the mentors is the other. I mean, I've re-upped again for my second year just so that I've got that.
I know.
I can still call. I feel like the more that I'm learning, the more questions I have, the more I need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So the more knowledgeable I am, I'm like, oh, I've got all this more stuff to learn, obviously, because then the more doors are open. So, yeah, for that, it's because it gets more complex. The bigger the deal.
For sure.
The more money, the bigger the deal. Risk. It gets more complex. Oh. The legals are more complex. The finances more. Yeah. Everything is
risk.
Just amplified. So yeah, we definitely run to them as soon much as we can.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming all the way to London from so far away, and you guys get to hang out with everybody, 400 of your closest friends here. And hopefully I can come to Bristol and see you at the at the Inner Circle.
Yeah,
and so if anybody wants to see Maria and Charles at the Inner Circle in Bristol, hit them up on Instagram. What's your Instagram?
Maria DeFonzo Official.
Maria DeFonzo Official.
And Charles Hankin Invests.
Charles Hankin Invests. And Maria or Charles can give you their guest pass to come to the Inner Circle Bristol. You can sit around with other people and hear their stories and network and see what is out there for you. Come to a crash course, right? I mean, like, honestly, I came into my first crash course in between lockdown, and it was amazing. That energy and seeing everybody.
Yeah, for a pound. Yeah.
For a pound. I know.
Why wouldn't you do it?
The value. Yeah, and the energy.
I was thinking it's only a pound, so it won't, you know, he won't be there. It'll just be like someone of his representatives. So when he comes in, I was like,
I know. You're like, oh my gosh, it's him.
Yeah, he's here.
So you have to see Samuel when you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks again, guys. Thank you for watching. And if you like this, please like, subscribe, share their story. It's a beautiful story. And keep your eye on these two because they are going to take over the South. Yeah. Thanks very much, everybody. And thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.